Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Cage podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog.
Hi, I'm Billy Hogan, host of the Superman Fan Podcast, and known as Superman Fan on the forums, and my first pick in the May 2016 previews comes in the Dark Horse section on page 46 with Black Hammer number 1. Jeff Lemire, writer and variant cover artist, Dean Ormstrom, story and cover artist, and Dave Stewart, colorist. On sale July 20th. 32 pages for $2.99, and this is an ongoing series. A new story from the prodigious brain of Jeff Lemire, Descender, amazingly realized by Dean Ormston, The Sandman, and Dave Stewart, Hellboy. Once they were heroes, but that age has long since passed. Banished from existence by a multiversal crisis, the old champions of Spiral City, Abraham Slam, Golden Gale, Colonel Weird, Madam Dragonfly, and Barbalian now lead simple lives in a timeless farming town. Even as they try to find their way home, trouble has a unique way of finding heroes wherever they are. Unless I'm mistaken, it seems that this series was previously solicited, maybe a year or more back. But this is a very interesting story premise, and having read some of the old classic Silver Age Earth 1, Earth 2 crossovers, and the various Crises mini-series that DC has published, I always like alternative looks at superheroes, so this looks like a very promising series from Dark Horse. And there are two pages of story art to whet your interest. Back to you, John.
Hey guys, this is the Brawlinator, and I'm going to kick my picks off with my first Dark Horse selection. And this is a comic you may have heard before. It's Jeff Lemire and artist Dean Ormston's new creator-owned series, Black Hammer. This was originally expected to come out way back in late 2014, and then was solicited in June of last year, but was delayed again due to an unforeseen health issue in Dean Ormston's life. Ormston is a British illustrator who entered comics with Judge Dredd magazine in 2000 AD before moving on to work with Vertigo on Sandman with Neil Gaiman and on Lucifer with Mike Carey. Black Hammer follows six of the greatest superheroes of a lost era that find themselves trapped in a mysterious town where they're unable to leave following a cosmic battle known only as The Event. The series picks up 10 years after these heroes have been written out of continuity and arrive back at Black Hammer Farm. Get ready for some classic superhero deconstruction here, folks. Two of the characters are from the Golden Age of comics, a few of them are from the Silver Age, and some that are more modern Bronze Age superhero type characters. They each come from a different point in comics history and a different point in the history of their own superhero universes. The two Golden Age characters are Abraham Slam, who is the patriarch character, sort of a pulp crime buster. He's the original costume mystery man. Golden Gale has the power to transform herself, and she's the epitome of Golden Age comics. And then there's a classy mystery and space adventurer called Colonel Weird, who since the 50s seems to have lost his mind. There's another character called Barbalian, or Barbalian, I'm not sure how it's pronounced. This is a mashup between a Martian Manhunter kind of character and Conan the Barbarian. And several more characters populate this series, and if you look at the art over on page 47, this looks phenomenal. Dean Ormston has outdone himself, and though the series might be new to us, even the delays I mentioned notwithstanding, Lemire actually conceived of this concept 9 years ago, way back in 2007, the story of forgotten superheroes from various parts of comic book history who have survived by immersing themselves in small-town life and done what they could to survive and to build a life for themselves, becoming this bizarre surrogate family living on a farm in the process. Words can't do it justice. Check it out for yourself. It's Black Hammer from Dark Horse, and it's found on pages 46 and 47.
Hey guys, it's Drew with a pick from Dark Horse on page 48. It is Bounty, number 1 of 10. It's written by Curtis Wiebe with art by Mindy Lee and Leonardo Olio. It's pitched as Rat Queens meets Firefly, and unfortunately is probably the reason why Rat Queens is no longer being produced. Curtis Wiebe has put his fantasy story on hold, much to my chagrin, but we'll see what this has to offer us. I'm going to give it a shot. It's got a cartoony look that's not my favorite, but I'm still going to check it out. It is 40 pages for $3.99. Comes out on July 6th. Curtis Wiebe can tell a tale. So we'll see if this is as strong as some of his previous work. Anyway, please check out Bounty on page 48 in Dark Horse.
Billy Hogan again. My second pick in the May previews comes on page 59 in the Dark Horse section with Usagi Yojimbo number 156. Stan Sakai, writer, artist, and cover artist, on sale July 20th, 24 pages for $3.99. While the vicious murder of a samurai at a remote temple is investigated, the assassin returns. Now, with two murders to solve in connection with the Hell Screen, Inspector Ishida is no closer to finding the killer. Meanwhile, the son of the screen's painter surfaces at the temple. Usagi acts as bait to lure the culprit in, but has the killer been under their noses the entire time? I've enjoyed Usagi Yojimbo ever since I began following the series after Stan Sakai's break to do the 47 Ronin and the Usagi Yojimbo Senso miniseries, and I'm enjoying every issue. Back to you, John.
My first pick of the month is on page 61 from Dark Horse. It's Gru, Fray of the Gods, number 1. Now, this is part of a 12-issue limited series, at least according to the description, but the section at the top listed as ongoing. But I guess these days everything is both an ongoing series, if it's still being published, and a limited series, because let's face it, everything ends. Even the perennials. Either way, this is got the regular set of guys, Sergio Aragonés, Mark Evanier, Tom Luth, Stan Sakai. This has been probably the longest standing creative team I can think of. They've literally been doing this character, this property of Gru for decades. No, I mean, not continuous publication. They'll take breaks as they're working on other things or whatnot. But if you haven't checked out Gru, I think you should. It's some great stuff. I'm a big fan of it, have been for decades. This is a $3.99 comic. We've got a 50% discount through DCBS. It's something, it's really worth checking out. If you're shopping at a local store, let them know you want this. I would think most stores are stocking Gru from Dark Horse, but, you know, maybe it's a newer store and they just haven't really become aware of this long-standing property. And if so, it's your duty to kind of, you know, educate them on this, I think. Again, not for everybody. It's about a mindless barbarian who gets into fights, and he's pretty much undefeatable. It's something of a parody of Conan, but it's also a lot more than that. It's got, again, great art by Sergio Aragonés and just some really wonderful writing by Mark Evanier. Hell, the letter pages alone is often quite entertaining. So, once again, Gru, Fray of the Gods, number 1 on page 61 from Dark Horse. I think you should check it out.
Hello, everybody. This is Gabe. This is my first pick for this month out of previews. I'm going with Batgirl number 1. Batgirl number 1 is spinning out DC's really big and really exciting rebirth, launch, reboot, relaunch, soft touch, whatever they're doing with it. This is going to be Batgirl number 1 coming from there. It's written by Hope Larson, who is a New York Times bestselling writer for A Wrinkle in Time. And the art, which is the main thing that kind of attached me, that caught my eye to this book, the art is actually done by Raphael Albuquerque, who, if that name sounds familiar, he was the artist on Scott Snyder's American Vampire. So I really want to see how his art translates over into superhero comics, especially a superhero comic like Batgirl. The solicit for this one is Beyond Burnside Chapter 1. So it seems like Barbara has left Burnside and is out kind of going global and traveling around the world. In this issue, she travels to Japan on a quest to train with the most elite modern combat masters of the East. So it sounds good. Sounds like a great jumping on point. I love, absolutely fell in love with the previous Burnside Batgirl series. So I'm definitely sticking around to see where this goes, especially with Rafael Albuquerque doing amazing work on the art.
Kyle and Drew with Comics for Fun and Profit here, and we are on page 88 of your previous guide, and we're looking at Nightwing Rebirth number 1, written by Tim Seeley, art by Yannick Paquette. Drew, nobody but myself has been waiting longer and with more bated breath for Nightwing. Nobody has been waiting longer than me. I'm excited for this. I'm excited for the secret agent to be gone, for us no longer to have a gun that we throw at each other, because, now, not that I haven't enjoyed Grayson, but man, I miss my Nightwing.
Will you miss the previous volume of Nightwing's costume?
I will. I liked the red, man. It was good, but we got the classic blue, and it matches the t-shirt I like to wear a lot, so all signs point to yes as this. And I'm a big Tim Seeley fan, so big Nightwing fan. Everything's back and ready to rock. I am excited.
This will come out on July 13th. It's 32 pages. It's $2.99.
And I'm eyeballing that Babs Tarr variant cover.
Yeah, depending on the price, I'm going to want to check that out as well. I think she would do a really good job with that character. I think that would be awesome.
But, I'm going to do that thing where I read the solicit real quick.
Okay.
He's been Robin, Batman, a spy, a ghost. Now Dick Grayson returns to Gotham City to reclaim the life that was taken from him. But when a new evil threatens those he loves most, Nightwing faces being torn away from home once again in order to destroy the dark forces once and for all. Powerhouse artist Yannick Paquette, who we know from Batman and Swamp Thing, joins series writer Tim Seeley from Grayson and the Batman and Robin Eternal series to return Nightwing to the DC superhero stage.
Sounds pretty good.
I'm in. I'm excited. I was thinking maybe they'd do Bloodhaven in this one, but we're not. We're back in Gotham City, and Comics for Fun and Profit is super excited for Nightwing Rebirth number 1. Only $2.99. DC holding the line at $2.99. Coming out July 13th from DC Comics.
And don't forget to check us out at comicsfunprofit.com.
Okay, Gabe back again. This is my second pick for this month's previews spotlight. And I'm still in the DC section. And I'm coming up on Nightwing Rebirth number 1. I've always been a big fan of Nightwing. It's great that he's one of those characters who started out as one character. And he was allowed to kind of grow up and move on, becoming Nightwing, of course. With Nightwing Rebirth number 1, this is written by Tim Seeley, who's done such things as Hack and Slash, Grayson, Batman Robin Eternal. So it's good to see him kind of following up on that run, Batman Eternal with Nightwing. And this is Nightwing back as, or this is Dick Grayson back as Nightwing, back in the Nightwing mantle. I enjoyed the Grayson series a lot, but there was always something kind of off about Dick Grayson not being the actual Nightwing character. So it's good to see him come back here as Nightwing. Art is by Yannick Paquette, who recently just did that Earth One Wonder Woman series with Grant Morrison. So his art on here is probably going to be amazing, seeing him do some really great figure work. The cover is going to be by Javier Fernandez, but the big thing here for me is I'm going to probably end up having to get this variant cover, because the variant cover is by Babs Tarr, and I absolutely love her work. So anything that she does, I end up picking up, especially if it's like a really cool variant cover. So that's going to be my second pick out of the DC section is Nightwing Rebirth number 1. I really want to see where they go with this character, especially since they pretty much killed him off in his last Nightwing series. So if you've skipped over this one, or if you're kind of thinking about it, or you're on the fence, I definitely say pick up Nightwing Rebirth number one and see where that goes with the Rebirth series.
Next up on page 89 of the previews catalog is Nightwing number one. Now, this takes place obviously after the Nightwing Rebirth. It comes out on, I believe, July 13th. This will come out July 27th. It's shipping twice monthly, so we're going to be getting a lot of Nightwing. Basically, Dick Grayson is no longer an agent of Spiral. He's back in the, I was going to say the classic costume, but you know, I still think the George Perez costume is the classic Nightwing one, or at least the original one. But he's back in the black and the blue, and I'm looking forward to this. Tim Seeley's writing it. We've got Javier Fernandez on the art and the cover. And this is starting a new story arc where Nightwing gets a new mentor who challenges basically everything Batman ever taught him. And I've read some stuff about where they're kind of going with this, and I think it's a very interesting take on the character and an interesting direction to go, because this is the original sidekick, and again, being a sidekick is a core aspect of the Nightwing character, or having been, I should say, a sidekick. And giving him a new mentor who has different mindsets and beliefs than Batman makes a lot of sense, is going to cause some, hopefully, some really good stories here. Again, I'm looking forward to it. As with most of the line at DC these days, it is $2.99. We've got a 50% discount through DCBS on this. If you're planning on getting it from your local store, by all means, tell your retailer now that you want it, just to help them gauge, because even though the Rebirth titles are going to be returnable for the first couple of months, it's still, you know, the more information you can give your retailer about what you want, what you're interested in, the better they can order, and probably the better they'll sleep at nights. Nightwing is probably my favorite comic book character. There are a couple close seconds, but I've always found him to be very interesting as a character, because he's not the best of the best of the best in the DC universe. That's Batman. But he's the number two guy and somebody that Batman puts his faith and trust in, and has been able to do certain things Batman has never been able to do. Lead teams, get people to rally behind him and stuff in a much more positive light than Batman. So I'm hoping we recapture some of that aspect of the character in this title. Like I said, I'm really looking forward to it. So once again, that's Nightwing number one on page 89 of the previews catalog. Check it out.
This is Michael Lamb with my first pick in the May 2016 previews from DC Comics, page 90. The Hellblazer Rebirth number 1, written by Simon Oliver. Art and cover by Moratat. John Constantine's lost weekend in New York City was fun, but London's where his heart is. Only a pissed off demon and a curse on his soul stand in his way. Even Constantine's questionable ethics are pushed to the limit when he puts 8 million souls on the line to get what he wants. I'm one of the few that actually did like the DCU restart of Constantine the Hellblazer. I thought they did a pretty good job mixing the macabre with the supernatural and whatnot, and it's be interesting to see how they restart it again. I'm looking forward to this series. I think it has potential to be very good, more kind of in line with the Vertigo stuff that really put Constantine on the map. So it's on sale July 20th and it retails for $2.99, so check it out.
Billy Hogan again. My third and fourth picks in the May previews comes on page 93 in the DC Comics section with Action Comics number 959 and 960. Written by Dan Jurgens, art by Tyler Kirkham, covers by Clay Mann, and variant covers by Ryan Sook. Path to Doom, Chapter 3. Clark Kent gets caught in the crossfire as Doomsday crashes through the streets of Metropolis. As Lois struggles to keep young Jonathan out of the path of destruction, can former enemies Superman and Lex Luthor stop the monster that once destroyed the city and killed the Man of Steel? Or does Luthor have other plans? Path to Doom, Chapter 4. Wonder Woman joins the fight, but even her added might can't slow down Doomsday's rampage. As Superman comes face to face with the woman who once loved him, the Man of Tomorrow must also wrestle with the reappearance of Clark Kent. I was always a fan of the 1960s imaginary stories where Superman was married and had children, And now Superman as a father becomes part of the regular DC continuity after being mainstays of the old classic imaginary stories. But then, aren't they all? Back to you, John.
Hi, everybody. I'm back here again. This is Gabe. I'm still in the DC section for my third pick for this month's previews. I'm a huge, huge Batman fan. So this pick is going to be out of the Rebirth section. This is Detective Comics 936. I'm really happy to see Detective Comics return back to its original numbering. I think that's a really kind of a cool idea. And I appreciate DC going back to the legacy numbering for this. But what I really like about the DC Comics over maybe just the Batman comic itself is this DC comic seems to be the whole Bat family comic. Where in this, we're going to have Batman teaming up with some of the Batgirls, like Cassandra Cain's going to be in it. Batwoman is in this series as well. So those are the things that kind of really drew me to this series. Detective Comics is actually shipping twice a month, which is really cool, especially if you're a Batman fan. A little bit of extra Batman never hurt anybody. But I'm really picking on the issue of 936 for this staff pick, or for this previews pick. It's written by James Tynion IV, who has been doing great work, especially if you're picking up Batman Ninja Turtles. That's a great series. He's really kind of blowing everything up on that book. If you haven't checked that out yet, definitely pick that up pretty soon. The hardcover will be coming out. And the art and cover is by Eddie Barros and Eber Ferreira for issue 936. And the solicitation, which is really kind of drew me in, says this. This is Rise of the Batman Chapter 3. So in issue 936, Batman is MIA, and it's time for Batwoman to take the reins. So that's really cool. That little sentence right there completely 100% sold me on this issue. I love the Batwoman character, and I can't wait to see how James Tynion and this creative team handles her kind of in the spotlight for this series, or the spotlight for this issue in particular. So definitely, DC section, page 96 out of the previews mag, Detective Comics 936. It's a Batwoman story, so definitely pick that up.
Billy Hogan again. My fifth and sixth picks in the May previews comes on page 100 in the DC Comics section with Superman issues numbers 2 and 3, written by Peter J. Tomasi and Patrick Gleason, art and cover by Patrick Gleason and Mick Gray, with the variant covers drawn by Kenneth Rocafort, the son of Superman Chapter 2. In number 2, Superboy takes flight as he accompanies his father, the Man of Steel, on their first mission together to confront a creature more dangerous than anyone realizes. Will the duo triumph, or will they die when they face the lethal force of the Eradicator? The son of Superman Chapter 3. In number 3, with a touch that means death, the Eradicator proves he's a match for Superman, but his superpowered offspring may be more than anyone can handle, including the Man of Tomorrow. Issue number 2 is on sale July 6th, while issue number 3 is on sale July 20th. Each are 32 pages for the cover price of $2.99. I've followed the Eradicator since he was introduced in the Reign of the Superman after the Death of Superman storyline way back in the 90s. So I'm looking forward to seeing how the Eradicator will be adapted for the new Rebirth continuity. Back to you, John. Billy Hogan again. My seventh pick in the May previews comes on page 110 in the DC Comics section with Superman, The Coming of the Superman number 6, written and drawn and cover art by Neil Adams. Superman's final confrontation with the army of Darkseid is at hand. What will be the fate of the three new Supermen, and what is the secret of Krypton? On sale July 6th, 32 pages for $3.99, and this is the final issue of this miniseries. I just got the third issue in my latest shipment from Discount Comic Book Service earlier today, but I haven't had a chance to read it yet. But I've enjoyed the first two issues. It seems like a modernized version of a Bronze Age story, which I read growing up. So I'm looking forward to seeing how this miniseries ends, and you can't beat another chance to see some great Neil Adams Superman art. Back to you, John. Billy Hogan again. My eighth pick in the May previews comes on page 118 in the DC Comics section with Future Quest number 3, written by Jeff Parker, art and cover by Evan Doc Shaner, and variant cover by Carl Kershaw. An earth-shattering power has come to life in the jungles of South America, and Team Quest and Birdman race the forces of fear to reach it first. There they find time ripped apart in a lost valley where dinosaurs and cavemen run wild once more as the ancient legend of Mitor is revealed. Only the shipwrecked aliens, Jan and Jace, hold the secrets of what fate awaits our world. But as a force led by Jezebel Jade attacks, what new hero will rise? On sale July 27th, 32 pages for $3.99. What attracted me to this series was the combination of some classic Saturday morning cartoon characters which I enjoyed from my youth, like Johnny Quest, Mitor, and Space Ghost. And I haven't gotten the first issue yet. That will be coming in my next shipment. But I couldn't pass up an opportunity to revisit some classic characters from Saturday mornings in my childhood. Back to you, John.
It's Brawlinator again, and for readers who wanted the pre-Flashpoint Superman back on the main DC Universe Earth, Superman, Lois, and Clark is a wish come true. Thanks to the events of Convergence, it's been revealed that the older, married pre-boot versions of Clark Kent and Lois Lane are alive and well on DC's Prime Earth, hiding for years among the residents of the New 52 Universe. In this miniseries, Lois and Clark's 9-year-old son John figures out who his parents really are. The basic premise is this. Superman, Lois, and John are now in the current DC Universe. They've been here for a while now, and this series is built around their effort to survive in this strange new universe. It's certainly not the same as what they lost, and it's also complicated by the fact that there are other versions of themselves here. This series got rave reviews, and I think this Superman appeals to readers because he has a rich and deep history. One of the things that readers, I think, wrestled with in the New 52, since it only had a 5-year-old universe. This version of Lois and Clark actually had some context and depth and a past that is essential to the characters that they are now. At first, it was hard to say how integral this story was going to be to the rest of the DC Universe, so it was kind of easy to dismiss this as another one-off nostalgia story. But it turns out this story is a lot more than just nostalgia. Lois and Clark belong together, and seeing them face the challenges of parenting while keeping secrets of their own makes for great storytelling. In the series that this trade paperback collects, Batman only appears briefly, though the sequence is exciting, and Jurgen's script really drives home how well Bruce and Clark work together. Pick it up in trade if you skipped it and enjoy it. Unfortunately, you cannot find it on any pages in the new DC Previews catalog. Let me get on a soapbox for a second. I really liked what DC is doing with the magazine-sized Previews catalog with some very cool articles and promotions in their own version of the Previews. I think it's superior to the Marvel Previews in many ways, which is literally nothing but solicits. However, the odd timing of this catalog's release makes it fall somewhere between when you can order these titles online via DCB service or not. So while you can pre-order Superman, Lois, and Clark, the trade paperback on DCBS now for July, this catalog still solicits last month's orders, such as Superman American Aliens hardcover, which I also recommend, by the way, but it is no longer pre-orderable on DCBS. I suppose DCBS will let you order American Alien if you like, since it's in this issue of Previews, because they're a pretty cool crew over there, but I'm a little bit put off by DC's lack of planning or whatever this can be chalked up to. Go Rebirth, I guess. I am a monthly orderer at DCBS, so this does kind of put me in a pinch to make up my mind rather quickly on what I'm seeing in the Previews catalog. I'm sure we'll get through it. This is what you call first world problems. The reason I mention all this is I can't give you a page number. You're going to have to actually tell your LCS to order it for you now or go on to DCB service and order it yourself. But it is Superman, Lois and Clark, the trade paperback. Pick it up.
This is Todd Cassell from Phoenix, Arizona, with my first pick of this podcast, and that is on page 140 of the DC Vertigo section, American Vampire Anthology Number 2. Now, American Vampire is getting a little bit long in the tooth. Okay, I picked this just so I could make that pun. Long in the tooth, American Vampire. Okay, no, not really. American Vampire is getting a little bit long in the tooth, honestly. The series is probably stretching it so long that Scott Snyder hasn't had enough time to commit to it. It's been coming out very infrequently lately. And I think it is time for him to probably wrap it up. But it's been a great series with a couple of mini-series, mostly drawn by Rafael Albuquerque, some fantastic art written by Scott Snyder. What intrigues me about this issue is that it's a second anthology to American Vampire, and I'm a sucker for anthologies. In this case, I'll read you the solicit. This special features 9 amazing stories set in the world of American Vampire, with lost tales, new characters, and old favorites. Series creator Scott Snyder and Rafael Albuquerque will be joined by other amazing creators such as Karen Gillan, Steve Orlando, Margaret Bennett, Elliot Killan, Joel Jones, Clay McLeod Chapman, and many more. And I apologize to any mispronunciations. Again, anthologies, you know, going all the way back to my youth with Twilight Zone and Outer Limits. I just love the opportunity to have a single story with a beginning, middle, and end, no matter how brief, and then on to the next one, and then on to the next one. And, you know, some of them may not be some great, and some of them will be really terrific. But it's really something that that gets me going. And so I recommend American Vampire Anthology. It's only in issue number 2, so anthology hasn't gotten long in the tooth yet. Thank you.
Billy Hogan again. My 9th pick in the May previews comes on page 142 in the Vertigo part of the DC Comics section, with Astro City number 37, written by Kurt Busiek, art by Brent Anderson, and cover by Alex Ross. The Broken Man returns, revealing secrets that will draw you deep into his broken life and into turn-of-the-century Astro City when it was still Roman Falls. Dame Progress patrolled the skies, and a rebellious power was growing, seething to break free, featuring Mr. Cakewalk, Jazz Baby, and a very strange home called the Dream House, beginning a whole arc of revelations about Astro City's past and a dire threat to its future. On sale July 20th, 32 pages for $3.99. I've really enjoyed this series since it became part of the Vertigo line of comics, and I'm looking forward to reading about the early history of Astro City. Kurt Busiek and the rest of the creative team always do a great job of putting a unique spin on the superhero universe. Back to you, John.
This is Rom, the Space Knight. You can imagine he comes from another galaxy with his flashing neutralizer.
Hey, it's Brawlinator again, and my pick from IDW this month is Rom number 1. First, there was his epic return in the recent Free Comic Book Day 0 issue, and now the ongoing tale of Rom begins in earnest. Christos Gage, Chris Ryle, and David Messina kick off the wildest new series of the year as Rom's war with the Dire Wraiths hits close to home in Earthfall Part 1. Now, this Rom series on its surface might sound like something people have seen or read before. A noble hero comes to Earth to save us from evil aliens hiding among us. In fact, it sounds exactly like the original Marvel series by Bill Mantlo and Sal Buscema. So I hope it will surprise, thrill, and entertain readers in a new and exciting way. The story readers will read in Rom Zero starts out in a relatively straightforward manner. It brings Rom to Earth and introduces the larger story involving him and his war with the Dire Wraiths. but it's ROM number one in July that really brings ROM's world into focus and lets readers know exactly what they're in for. ROM number one hits shelves in July, so you can read the zero-issue prequel to his adventure in a free Comic Book Day special issue that just came out back on May 7th. IDW has been expanding their Hasbro licenses, which already include Transformers, My Little Pony, G.I. Joe, Jim and the Holograms, and now it's growing even more with the better-than-expected comic series Micronauts, and hopefully a ROM that exceeds expectations when issue number one comes out. You can check out the solicit on pages 158 and 59 in this month's previews, and you may see the Space Knot on the cover of several other IDW titles this month because it's part of the ROM promotion. There are a few funny ones out there. Check them out.
9-volt battery not included. ROM, the Space Knight, an electronic toy new from Parker Brothers.
Aloha, everyone. This is Jason from Hawaii. My pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the IDW section on page 158. It's ROM number one. Now, I know Brawlinator is doing a clip for ROM number one as well. The thing is, but you know, the purpose of this clip is to remember the original writer who brought ROM to the comics. Now, I'm going to try to pronounce his name correctly, so please forgive me if I mispronounce it. The original writer's name is Bill Mantlo. Now, you know, what I've heard about Bill Mantlo was that he was a big comic book fan. You know, he's one of us, you know, who lived the dream of writing comics. You know, and I remember reading Wizard Magazine. Now, Wizard Magazine was one of those old publications that focused on comics. And they had an article in there that I read that spotlighted on Bill Mantlo's career, you know, and his life. You know, and what I took, you know, and the thing is, you know, from that article, I will always associate Bill Mantlo with ROM. Now, to make it clear, you know, I gathered most of the information from Bill Mantlo's Wikipedia page. You know, I'll do my best to present the writer's life story the best I can. So, you know, please bear with me. Bill Mantlo was born on November 9th, 1951. And as I mentioned, you know, he was a big comic book fan. You know, he went to college at Cooper Union School of Art. You know, he started working for Marvel, I believe back in the mid-70s as an assistant, you know, to one of the Marvel's production managers. You know, and how he broke into writing at Marvel was he jumped at the chance, you know, to write in a fill-in issue on one of the ongoing series. You know, he was known as the fill-in king, you know, where he would write stories under extreme tight deadlines. Now, Bill Mantlo has an extensive record at Marvel. He wrote a lot of things over there. I'm just going to name a couple things that he's done at Marvel. He also wrote the Micronauts, you know, that's another IDW series, that, you know, just came out like, I think within the last month. And he also co-created Rocket Raccoon, ROM, Space Knight. Time Magazine named it, the worst toy of 1979. I remember seeing this toy as a kid back then, and I thought it was a piece of junk. But Bill Mantlo saw something more with the ROM toy. He and legendary artist Sal Buscema gave ROM, you know, a new life in comics by giving him an origin story, a rich background story, and main villains such as the Wraith that lasted 75 issues plus 4 annuals. The comic book series ran from 1979 to 1986. After ROM was canceled, you know, in the mid-80s, Bill Mantlo was still working at Marvel, but also too, he was going to law school during this time. You know, because of labor issues at Marvel, you know, he left Marvel and he worked very briefly at DC until he passed his bar exam. Now, Bill Mantlo started a second career as a public defender for Legal Aid Society. Now, if I got my information correct, the Legal Aid Society, they focus on helping clients who could not afford a lawyer. So to me, in some sense, Bill Mantlo became a superhero in his own way by fighting for the little guys. Unfortunately, you know, in 1992, he was a victim of a hit and run. You know, the driver was never caught. You know, the accident left him with a severe head trauma or brain injury. Currently, he lives in a healthcare facility where he receives full-time care. You know, I want to end this clip on a positive note. You know, as I mentioned before, Bill Mantlo co-created Rocket Raccoon. In 2014, he was given a private screening of Guardians of the Galaxy. The movie credited him as being a co-creator of Rocket Raccoon. According to Michael Mantlo, Bill's brother, you know, Bill was pleased with the adaptation of Rocket Raccoon. What a lasting achievement Bill Mantlo did in comics that we're still talking about today. He co-created Rocket Raccoon. Rocket Raccoon's going to be in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 next year. He wrote the Micronauts. The Micronauts, you know, series just started, you know, within the last month. And he turned one of the worst toys in history into a beloved comic book hero. Thank you, Bill Matlow, for writing ROM Space Knight. For more information, please check Bill Matlow's Wikipedia page. And if you guys get a chance, pick up ROM number 1. Thank you for listening. Back to you, John.
Joe Crawford in the IDW section on page 167 with Star Trek number 59, titled Altered Encounters Part 1 of 2. Says, don't miss part one of the two-part series finale. It's the penultimate chapter in the latest five-year mission of the USS Enterprise as Captain Kirk and the crew encounter themselves. Celebrate the 50th anniversary of Star Trek with this all-new story that brings two timelines together. So I've read a good chunk of the series they've used with the Abramsverse version of Star Trek, and for the most part, it's been very good. I'm not sure if they're getting ready maybe to wrap it up by having the crew meet the classic version of themselves or what. It almost seems like that's what's being hinted at by the cover that they've got, because it looks like it's going to be an interconnected cover. Maybe they don't want to give too much away, so we're only seeing the first half. Regardless, it's been a good series. I'm excited to see what they're going to do with the finale of it. So that's Star Trek number 59 on page 167 in the IDW catalog.
Okay, Gabe back. I'm now in the IDW section of previews for this month, and I'm really glad I decided to kind of go back through the previews again. Normally I go through previews, and I have a stack of sticky notes, and I sticky note all the stuff I like. But the first time through, I missed this, and I ended up going through again real quick just to double check what I had and what I was interested in. And I noticed this, and I'm kind of disappointed that I missed it the first time, because I was really looking forward to this for a long, long time. This is Gem and the Holograms Outrageous Edition Oversized Hardcover. Okay, the Gem and the Holograms series through IDW has been absolutely fantastic. I love the writing from Kelly Thompson. She's been doing a great job on this book. Sophia Campbell has been doing great with the art. Very iconic images, lovely storytelling, fantastic character designs coming from Sophia. So I absolutely love this book, and I've been holding off for a while. I skipped on the trade paperbacks because I knew a hardcover would be coming out sooner or later. And now that the hardcover is solicited, I am definitely jumping on this. IDW has the best hardcovers. They put great work into these hardcovers. They don't skimp out or cheapen up on anything. Their hardcovers are absolutely the best on the market, I think. This is 340 pages for $50. It's a little bit much. $50 is a lot for a hardcover. But I'm sure DCBS will have a great discount on this, which will help, you know, kind of soften the blow on that one a little bit. But I think it's absolutely worth it at 340 pages. We're getting issues, what does it say on here? The first 10 issues of the series, plus the double length annual, the holiday special, and the Valentine's special. So it's pretty much absolutely everything that's came out within that last, or the first year of the series, we're getting on here. So if you've been enjoying the series at all, or you've been kind of questioning on it, you wanted to find a good time to jump on that series, get the hardcover. Fantastic hardcovers out of IDW. I'm really, really looking forward to this, and that's why that's my pick out of the IDW section this month.
Billy Hogan again. My 10th pick in the May previews comes on page 176 in the IDW section with Wynonna Earp, number 6, writer Beau Smith, artist Laura Innes, who is also the cover regular cover artist, Chris Evenhouse drew a substitute cover, and there's also a photo subcover. It's time for a showdown in Tombstone, Arizona, but Wynonna Earp's opponent isn't going to play fair. With her life on the line and time running out, Wynonna will have to reach out to the mysterious John Henry to finally put her demonic adversary to rest. This has been a fun series, and I'm glad I picked it up after reading his original run back in the previous decade. And I haven't yet been able to see the sci-fi series adaptation of Wynonna Earp, but if Bo Smith is involved, I'm sure it's just as good as this comic book series. And if you get sci-fi on your cable or satellite network, don't just try this comic book series. Also check out the TV series on the Sci-Fi Channel. Back to you, John.
Hey guys, it's Drew with a pick from Image on page 196. It is Snot Girl number 1. Who is Lottie Person? Is she a gorgeous, fun-loving social media star with a perfect life? Or a gross, allergy-ridden mess? Enter a world of snot, blood, and tears in the new ongoing series from New York Times bestseller Brian Lee O'Malley. Yes, that Brian Lee O'Malley who did Scott Pilgrim. And the art is going to be done by Leslie Hung. This comes out July 20th. It's 32 pages. It is only $2.99. It is a gem of the month. It is on page 196. And some extra pages there of preview art. I am checking it out just because I really like Scott Pilgrim. So I want to check this out because of Brian Lee O'Malley. And so I think you should too. So please check that out in the Image section of previews.
Yeah, this is Michael Lamb with my second pick of the month from Image Comics at page 198, Throwaways, number 1. Story by Caitlin Kittredge, art by Steven Sanders. Abby Palmer and Dean Logan are two broken people, Abby a vet with severe PTSD and Dean a burnout trying to escape the shadow of his infamous father, when they are thrust into a modern-day MK-Ultra conspiracy, and they discover that they are both Ultra's human experiments. Which, this series looks really, really good. Spy/undercover operation going on. Should be really, really fun series. I think the MK Ultra program, for those of you that don't know, was a program by which the CIA tried to essentially create mind-controlled assassins where they would brainwash somebody and then essentially send them back out to the real world, and then at a certain point they would have a word or a phrase that would trigger them to become all of a sudden a cutthroat assassin and then do the job they needed to do, but never know that they were under the control of the CIA the whole time. So this looks like a really fun book. I think it's a Image puts out a lot of great stuff, and I will definitely be checking this out.
Hey guys, it's Brawlinator again. My Image pick this month is found on page 204, and this is for yet another resolicited series I was looking forward to around this time last year. But the book was canceled after the first three issues were solicited by their original publisher, Heavy Metal. It's now coming back out through Image Comics, and I'm really looking forward to it. It's called Mechanism. This story follows a pair of police working with an experimental robot cop in a world that's practically been overrun by lizard-like aliens. This series is written and drawn by Rafael Ionco, whose other credits include the critically acclaimed Symmetry, along with Epic Kill, also from Image Comics, and he had a strong run doing the artwork on the now-canceled Fantastic Four over at Marvel. The solicited preview reads, "In the aftermath of an alien invasion, a prototype military robot is rushed into the field before it's combat-ready, before its artificial mind has matured enough to understand chaotic human beings and the world around it. Now attached to a group of survivors, it studies them to learn what it means to be human. But the question is, will it come to understand man as a noble creature worth preserving, or will it conclude that the human race isn't worth saving at all?" Mechanism is a science fiction tale that combines the wonder of the Iron Giant with the intensity of The Walking Dead. And this series' artwork looks incredible too, which I've come to expect from Ionco, combining science fiction, hardcore metal machines, the future, unfathomable aliens, conspiracies, the mind, destruction, and beautiful visuals. Check it out for yourself. It's over on page 204 this month in previews, and I doubt it will ever be late since he's had more than a year to get this series wrapped up. I don't know if it's an ongoing or a limited series. I guess we'll just see how well it does.
Comics for Fun and Profit. Back again. Kyle and Drew here to talk about The Fix number 4. Going to be found on page 223 in the Image section of your previews guide. And man, did you and I enjoy Fix number 1. So I'm excited for Fix number 4.
Yeah, it was an awesome debut. And this is the first time since reading that first issue that I've been able to talk about this book and put that out there, because it was so wonderful that, you get to grab issue 4 and see if you could add 2 and 3 to your full list, and see if you could find another printing of issue 1. Get them all, because we thought this was great.
Yeah, the humor of it's great. It's that classic Nick Spencer humor. You know, you were a big fan of the Superior Foes of Spider-Man. This is that whole team back again, and man, just knocked it out of the park in that first issue.
Yeah, this is going to come out on July 6th. It's 32 pages, $3.99. The entire solicit reads, Mac's new partner doesn't seem to like him very much. I don't know what happened in issue 2 and 3, so I'm not really sure what that means. But I don't care. I loved it. So I'm down for this. Can't wait.
Yep, based on a great number one issue and a great creative team, Comics for Fun and Profit is a big fan of The Fix, number 4, page 223, $3.99 from Image Comics, coming out July 6th.
Aloha, this is Jason from Hawaii. I'm here at Dragon's Lair in Hawaii with my pick from the Image section on page 227. It is Paper Girls number 7, written by Brian K. Vaughan, art by Cliff Chiang and Matt Wilson. The solicit reads, Trapped in a Dark Future, Erin and her fellow deliverers from 1988 uncover shocking truths about their own fates. Again, this is Paper Girls issue number 7. I've already got this on my pull list here at Dragon's Lair. So if you guys get a chance, pick up Paper Girls number 7. Thank you for listening. Back to you, John.
The Marvel Universe is at a crossroads.
Civil War 2 continues with issues 3 and 4 in the Marvel's previews catalog from pages 2 to 5. Issue number 3 deals with the fall of one of the biggest heroes in the Marvel Universe. Who is it? This is one that will have comic book fans talking about for years to come. Issue number 4, battle lines are drawn between Captain Marvel and Iron Man. Which hero will stand with Captain Marvel? Which hero will stand with Iron Man? For answers to these questions, pick up Civil War 2, issues 3 and 4. Protect the future. Change the future. Choose your side. A Marvel Comics event.
Aloha! This is Jason from Hawaii. My pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the Marvel section on page 52. It's the Silver Surfer number 6, written by Dan Slott, art by Michael Allred. Now, this seems to be, you know, a resolicit from...
Hey, this is Jason from Hawaii.
What?
My pick for this month's preview spotlight...
Who are you?
I'm Jason, recording this clip on April 8th. Who are you?
I'm Jason, recording this clip on May 6th. Oh no, I know Dan Slott is a big Doctor Who fan, and Marvel must have disrupted the space-time continuum when they resolicited this issue. You know, to stop this terror, you know, through the continuum, you know, you gotta stop recording this, you gotta stop recording.
Okay, you know, have fun recording the clip. Bye!
Thank you. Whew, that was a close call. Oh, where was I? Oh, yes, sorry, I'm a little thrown off. I love what Dan Slott and Michael Allred are doing on the Silver Surfer series. You know, it's fun with a lot of zaniness to it. You know, so if you guys get a chance, pick up the Silver Surfer number 6.
Pick up the Silver Surfer number 1.
Who are you?
I'm Jason from Re-Earth.
What's Re-Earth?
Well, Re-Earth is a parallel Earth where Marvel Comics are renumbered after every 6th issue. And the DC Comics, you know, reboots their whole universe after every 52 issues.
Great, Scott. I better wrap this up. You know, so if you guys get a chance, you know, pick up the Silver Surfer number 6 when it comes out, you know, this July. And, you know, but if it's resolicited again, I mean, the whole space-time continuum thing may collapse on itself. You know, thank you for listening. Back to you, John.
Hi, Todd Cassell again from Phoenix, Arizona with my next pick. It is in the Marvel section, and as usual, I ripped out the page to talk about it later, and neither sides of this page have the page number, so I apologize. But you'll be able to find it by the big artwork page of Doctor Strange. Yes, this is Doctor Strange number 10, written by Jason Aaron and drawn by Chris Bacalo, or Bacalo. As you've probably noticed, I'm not that great with the name pronunciation, and if I can't immediately find it on lookup, I just lazily try my best. Anyway, Doctor Strange number 10. I am a Marvel Unlimited subscriber. I have the patience to wait the 6 months, but I don't have the patience to wait the 6 months to read it in digital for certain series. I've mentioned in the past, The Vision is one, Thor is one, and related to Thor, because it's the same author, is Doctor Strange. I do buy Doctor Strange. I have a hard time. I grit my teeth very hard at paying $3.99 for a comic book, but I do pay that for a handful of Marvel books, and Doctor Strange is one of them. The cover is by Kevin Nolan, and the solicit says, the thrilling conclusion of Last Days of Magic. The Sorcerer Supreme must learn some new tricks and utilize new weapons if he's to defeat the Imperial. Witness the status quo shift of the Sorcerer Supreme. All right, so Doctor Strange, the new series has been okay. Jason Aaron is very good writer, and that is why I'm sticking with it. But the main reason I'm sticking with it is, ta-da, artwork. I love the artwork of Mr. Bacalo, or Mr. Bacalo, however he goes by. I think his artwork is just so unique and so cool. I've loved it all over the years. And so as long as he stays on Doctor Strange, and as long as Jason Aaron is writing, I'll plop down my $3.99. I'll even let them keep the penny and the take a penny, keep a penny, and they can have the $4. Again, that's Doctor Strange. Sorry I don't have the page number, but it's in the Marvel section, and I recommend it.
Joe Crawford on page 61 in the Marvel catalog, and it's one of my favorites these days, and that's Mockingbird number 5. And it's got a cover by Joelle Jones, which is always is an attention grabber, the great artwork that she does. So it says, Mockingbird has to fight her way through a S.H.I.E.L.D. medical clinic, learning some awkward and private medical information about her superhero colleagues in the process. Nagging questions regarding ping pong balls and zombie levitation will be answered, and Bobby will be punching a lot of dead old people. So if you've been reading the book, that synopsis will make sense to you. If not, if you can still find the issues or if you read digitally, go pick those up. It's a great series. I'm sure we're probably going to be hitting the end of an arc here or in the next issue. So it'll be in trade soon if you've missed it. Great artwork, great writing, great series. Mockingbird number 5 by Marvel.
This is Todd Cassell from Phoenix, Arizona with my next pick. The Marvel section, page 89 of the catalog, Deadly Hands of Kung Fu Omnibus, Volume 1. This is pure nostalgia to me. This brings up such feels. I was just 13 years old when this comic book, well, when this black and white magazine came out. Deadly Hands of Kung Fu was a mix of comic book stories in black and white and articles on the Kung Fu craze of the 70s. I mean, really great having these articles right in the middle of that craze, Bruce Lee, the movies, everything. And then with all of that, you had some fantastic stories and art. One of the first things I think George Perez ever did was a story of Sons of the Tiger in this magazine. And I remember the splash page. It was one of those typical George Perez splash pages where every individual building in a certain neighborhood of New York was drawn. And I couldn't believe what he did there. It really is something that I would love to have all 33 issues of this magazine back in my hands. But of course, the prices skyrocket. So I do have a few interspersed in my collection. But now that it's coming out in omnibus, I just hope that there's not any type of legal ramifications that'll keep anything out of it. Like I know Shang-Chi, some type of legal effort was taken so that they can now reprint his stories. But I hope these articles are all in place as well, because this omnibus is something that I'm really looking forward to. I don't want to go too long by reading the solicit in detail, but really go take a look at it on page 89. It's really something that really gets my nostalgia bone quivering, and I cannot wait to get this volume and the next few volumes. I guess there'll be two volumes, actually, since there were only 33 issues, and this covers issue 1 through 18. Please, 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 let's make sure that they all have everything covered in the legal department, because I want every page. Thank you. Hi, this is Todd Cassell from Phoenix, Arizona, with my next pick. It's in the Marvel section, page 111, and it's Machine Man by Kirby and Ditko, The Complete Collection. Written by Jack Kirby, Marv Wolfman, Tom DeFalco, and Roger Stern, penciled by Jack Kirby and Steve Ditko, with Sal Buscema. Covered by Jack Kirby, a military machine with a soul. A thinking computer in the form of a man, X-51 is the Machine Man. Abel Stack gave a government-created robot a human face, nurturing the man inside the machine and calling him son. But Stack's death left that son, Aaron, alone and running for his life. The military wants to strip him apart, and mankind doesn't understand him. But in exploits crafted by two of the medium's greatest talents, he'll still redefine humanity. Few comic books were lucky enough to be graced by the work of Jack Kirby, Steve Ditko. Machine Man never saw an issue that wasn't illustrated by one of these creative titans. Now the complete Machine Man epic is collected for the first time in one complete volume, collecting Machine Man from 1978, issue 1 through 19, and Incredible Hulk, issue 235 through 237, retail price $39.99. Now, why am I picking this? Again, nostalgia. I like my old stuff. But again, artwork. It's not the story. Sorry, Jack Kirby, Marv Wolfman, Tom DeFalco, and Roger Stern, but these were terrible stories. Some of you, maybe you'll like them. They were terrible. There was nothing memorable about them. The only thing memorable about Machine Man to me was that he first appeared in 2001, a Space Odyssey series that Jack Kirby was writing and drawing, which I thought was really cool as a kid, but even that was pretty bad. But in this case, this is all about the artwork. Jack Kirby, Steve Ditko, I don't even need to read any of the word balloons in this volume. I'll just turn the pages and I'll glom onto that artwork, and I will continue to love it like I always love the work of these two classic artists. And that's why I recommend this complete collection. A, it's complete. Always cool to have everything in one book. B, that artwork. Love it.
My next pick is on page 258 and 259 of the previews catalog. It's from Action Labs. They're celebrating their fifth year as a publisher. And it is Miraculous, Tales of Ladybug and Cat Noir. Now, I had originally picked the trade paperback collection as my pick, but they've also got the three weekly issues, 1 through 3, that are getting collected into the trade paperback. And I'll be honest, I'm a little torn. Do I want to get the trade? Do I want to get the single issues? And I'm probably actually going to get the single issues. We've got a 50% discount on the trade paperback. It's a manga size one, so it's a 6x9, which is a little bit different form factor than the traditional comics and stuff. Again, they've got issues 1 through 3 here. The issues are $3.99 a piece. DCBS has the first issue at a 50% discount, the others at a 35% discount. Again, 50% discount on the trade, which is $8.99. So it works out cheaper to get the trade, so I may still do that. I don't know. I want to support them on this. The property here is a series on, I believe, Nickelodeon. Yeah, it's on Nickelodeon. I came across this through an email I got from Shout Factory, which is doing the Power Rangers and Super Sentai DVDs, and they had a collection of this. And it's basically a CGI animated series featuring two high schoolers as superheroes. One of them, Ladybug, is essentially an insect-ish ladybug motif style character. Cat Noir's think of basically Spider-Man and Catwoman are probably more accurately Spider-Man and Black Cat. Switch the genders, put them as high schoolers. That's kind of sort of what you got here. And they get their powers from Kiwamis or whatever, little tiny magical beings and stuff. I watched the first episode on YouTube and thought it was just a really fun concept. So seeing this in comic book format really appeals to me. I'm probably going to pick up the DVD collection at some point. It looks like a lot of fun. I think it'll translate well. I think this is a great property for Action Labs to pick up. Like I said, I'm still torn between, do I get the three individual issues? Do I get the collection? Which way do I go? It's nice to have the option. It's nice for them to have solicited them all in the same month. Hopefully this does well enough that they go beyond just these three issues. Again, I'm really looking forward to it. So I really recommend you check out page 258, 259, get a sense of what this property is with Miraculous. Decide if you want to get the three weekly issues, if you want to get the manga-sized collected edition a week after the weekly ones finish. Again, we've got a 30% discount through DCBS on that trade on the first issue. The other two issues individually would be $3.99 minus a 35% discount, putting them at $2.59. So you're talking, if you go through DCBS, for the individual issues, it is $7.17 versus $4.49 for the trade. It's funny because I'll probably get around to reading the individual issues faster than I would if I get it in trade. I'm just crazy that way. Anyways, this is a really fun property. It's very inventive. It's a good, I think, entry ramp for kids to get into the kind of superheroes and stuff without being weighed down by the long, complex continuity of the Marvel or DC universes or whatever. And frankly, this is just a much funner approach to superheroes. So again, I'm becoming a fan of this property. I really recommend the stuff. They've got interlocking covers on issues 1 and 3, it looks like. One cover featuring Ladybug, the other featuring Cat Noir, which I think is just a great idea. I kind of wish they'd done it such that you could get a cover of 1, a cover of 3 that interlocked, something of that sort where you didn't have to double dip or whatever. But all the covers look great. The interior art that they've got some samples of looks awesome. Again, I think it's well worth checking out. So once again, that's Miraculous from Action Labs on page 258 and 259. Check it out. Next up on page 266 is Captain Kidd number 1 from Aftershock Comics. It's a new series written by Mark Waid and Tom Pyer. We've got Wilfredo Torres on the art and on the cover, which I'm looking forward to. Art looks great on the cover. Basic premise here, and to me this really reflects the aging of the comic audience. Remember back when they would have sidekicks because, that allows the kid to relate to the hero. And then there was, the Captain Marvel, the Shazam version, where you've got this kid, Billy Batson. He shouts Shazam and turns into this adult hero. Because, what kid wouldn't like that? Okay, let's roll forward to the fact that these days most people reading comics are well past college age versus young kids. And you wind up with a guy who can transform magically into, I assume magically at least, a superhero Captain Kidd. Except this time, it's a middle-aged guy with a hacking cough, an obsolete job, and whatnot. And isn't that the wish fulfillment for those of us who are, past the teenage years by quite a margin? The idea of turning not only into a superhero, but a young superhero in the prime of life or whatever. This just strikes me as something, particularly coming out of the mind of Mark Waid, that's going to be just a ton of fun. Really looking forward to it. Again, they're getting some great creators over at Aftershock. I think this publisher should have gotten on my radar a bit stronger, a bit faster than it did. I think I was slacking off on that. I'm really looking forward to this. Should be some great stuff. Once again, that's Captain Kidd number 1 from Aftershock. It's on page 266. It's a $3.99 comic. It's comic book page pick of the month, so we've got a 45% discount through DCBS on it. Check it out. Lifespanners on page 267 also caught my eye, mainly because of the concept of being able to buy superpowers even if it shortens your lifespan. But, who wouldn't want to be able to do that if you could pick the power you get, hopefully, and two, maybe it doesn't shorten it that much, or, you know, if you're going to live for 90 years and it's now only 80, is it really that much of a cost? I don't know, maybe it would be. It's going to be interesting to see what take they have on this. Again, Aftershock really getting on my radar these days, partially because of Drew and some other people. I'm looking forward to it, like Drew and Kyle said. Tim Seeley on the writing, Gus Storms on the art. This is Lifespanners number one from Aftershock Comics on page 267. It is a comic book page pick of the month, so we've got a 45% discount on it through DCBS. Check it out.
Kyle and Drew here with Comics for Fun and Profit. We are on page 267 of your previews guide, and we are in Aftershock, and we are talking Lifespanners number one. Written by Tim Seeley, art by Gus Storms. He's doing both the covers and the internal art, and I'm a big fan of Tim Seeley. I'm a big fan of what Aftershock's been doing lately, so I'm kind of excited for Lifespanners number one. Drew, you excited as well?
Yeah, they've won me over at Aftershock. There's been a lot of great stuff now. For a while there, they were doing these first issues for $1.99. This does not seem to be the case.
Nah, wish it was, but this one's the full $3.99.
$3.99, 32 pages. And that's cool. I think they were trying to make a splash when they first debuted. They got my attention. They're the smallest publisher with the greatest name recognition of creators that I've ever seen. So I'm very impressed with what they're rolling out here. So this is another in that line. I'm checking everything they're doing out. And so, like Tim Seeley, like Aftershock, I'm going to check this out. Not even sure what it's about. I have no idea.
Well, let me tell you what it's about, Drew. In the near future, a superpowered teenage girl wipes the heavily disputed old city of Jerusalem off the face of the earth. Now, in the politically charged world of the Lady Last Word incident, a clickbait headline writing, quote-unquote, journalist, holds the key to a medtech conspiracy that could allow people to buy superpowers at the cost of shortening their lifespan. A sci-fi superhuman epic from the writer of Revival, Grayson Hackenslash, and the artist of Egos and the Legion of Superheroes. So that sounds pretty darn good, Drew. I like it. I'm in. Comics for Fun and Profit is a big fan of Lifespanners, number one, page 267 from Aftershock's Comics. You can find that on July 13th.
And don't forget to check us out at comicsfunprofit.com.
Okay, Gabe back with another pick for this episode. This one is another one of these items that I easily overlooked the first time I made a quick glance through previews this time. But when I went back, I'm really happy that I found this because I'm super excited for this book. This book comes from American Mythology. This is Equilibrium number one. That's right, Equilibrium. You remember that movie with Christian Bale before he was Batman? So yeah, they are finally doing a sequel for that movie, but it's going to be in this comic. So it's a comic form sequel to the movie. So I'm really excited for that because that movie I thought was excellent. It's a cult. It's kind of a cult classic, a little cult underground hit. But now we're getting a sequel out of it. So I'm excited to see the clerics again. I'm excited to see some really sweet gun-fu action happening in this book. So like I said, it's coming from American Mythology. It's $3.99. It's on page 276 in this month's previews. Take a look. The cover art by Matt Slay looks really cool. The writer is Pat Shand. And the inside art is by Jason Craig. And if you like variant covers or anything like that, they have a really cool photo cover for the subscription cover that you can choose, as well as other variant covers as well. So definitely don't overlook this, especially if you're a fan of that movie and you kind of want to see a little bit more happening in that world. Definitely pick up Equilibrium. Add that to your order this month. Thank you.
Aloha, this is Jason from Hawaii. My pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the Archie section, from pages 285 to 287. It's Betty and Veronica number one, written and drawn by the legendary Adam Hughes. Now on page 285, there is a short interview with him, and from pages 286 to 287, it shows variant covers for issue number one. Adam Hughes. That's all Archie Comics had to say, you know, to get me hooked to buying this series.
You know, with Adam Hughes on this title, you know, it re-sparks the old debate. Who do you prefer, Betty or Veronica? You know, I already had my clear choice, you know, but now with Adam Hughes on this title, you know, writing and drawing, you know, this series, you know, I might change my mind. So if you guys get a chance, you know, pick up Betty and Veronica number one. Thank you for listening. Back to you, John.
This is Michael Lamb with my third pick of the month. It's way back in the previews catalog on page 300 from Avatar Press, Crossed Badlands number 100. There is no hope. There is no escape. There's only the Crossed. From the mind of Garth Ennis, the Crossed Badlands series comes to an end with a gigantic issue number 100, ad-free. This series has been going on for quite a while. A number of different indie writers and artists have taken over the series, done some really great things with it. It's a horror slash post-apocalyptic world in the same vein as Walking Dead, except in bright, full color, and it's very, very graphic in language and in the art style. It's put out by Avatar Press, and they're a very, very small publisher. I think it's an amazing milestone, and I will definitely wanted to acknowledge them, and I think give them a huge shout out, because I think that for a publisher, they only accumulates about 0.5% of the market to be able to put out 100 issues of a long-running series is just a great achievement, and to get some of the name, some great stories and great name artists and writers to contribute throughout that great run is amazing, and hopefully there will be another Crossed series to replace this one. As for now, all we're left with is Crossed plus 100, and hopefully you guys will give this a chance. I know that some of the graphic art and language will probably turn most of you off, but if that's not a problem for you, I highly recommend checking out this and the rest of any of the issues, which most have been collected into trade paperbacks that you can check out, and that would be amazing. So thanks a lot. Bye.
Kong is back, the giant ape who first appeared on the silver screen back in 1933 and then again in the 76 and 2005 remakes. He will star in a six-issue Boom Studios miniseries by writer James Asmus and artist Carlos Magno. Kong of Skull Island is actually a prequel to the original film, telling a new story about two giant apes clashing as two different civilizations are trying to learn to live together on Skull Island, long before Carl Denham and Ann Darrow arrive. With the talk of different civilizations on the island, there may be some hope that the comic book will paint a more nuanced and positive depiction of the human inhabitants of Skull Island, unlike the films which relied on racial stereotypes of that era. Now, at first I thought we were looking at an adaptation or a tie-in to the new film from Jordan Vogt Roberts, Kong Skull Island, but this Boom Studios comic is a totally different thing. The first issue will have a number of alternate covers from guys like Eric Powell, Ryan Suk, Paul Pope, Nick Robles, and Felipe Massafera, which you can find on pages 310 and 311 of this month's previews. Kong of Skull Island, number one from Boom Studios.
All right, so Gabe's here again. I got another pick. This time I am in the Boom Studios section previews magazine. I'm actually on page 321, and I'm looking at and I'm recommending very deeply, I'm recommending Lumberjanes Gotham Academy number 2. So last month, Lumberjanes Gotham Academy number 1 was solicited. I definitely immediately threw that on my DCBS order. I loved the Gotham Academy series. I loved that cast of characters. And also, I really enjoyed the Lumberjanes stories and the Lumberjanes characters and that world as well. And it's really interesting to see this crossover between Boom Studios and DC Comics, especially with the how Gotham Academy has kind of been under the radar, and there hasn't been a lot of spotlight on Gotham Academy over the last few issues or so. But I definitely do recommend issue number 2 of this Lumberjanes Gotham Academy crossover. We haven't had a chance to see what issue one had to offer, but I do want to spotlight issue two as a means of actually spotlighting the entire series. This is a 6-issue miniseries. That's a crossover between two unlikely sources from Boom Studios, DC Comics. Definitely take a look at Lumberjanes, Gotham Academy, number 2 of 6. Thank you.
Next up on page 338 and 339 is The Lone Ranger Green Hornet, number 1 of 6. This is from Dynamite Entertainment. It's a $3.99 comic written by Michael Usulon. We've got Giovanni Timpano on art. And this is basically clarifying the relationship between the Lone Ranger and the Green Hornet. Now, there's often been talk of how somehow the Green Hornet is like the great-grandson or the nephew, or through some connection, familial blood connection, a relationship between those two. Here, they're finally going to dive into it and clarify what that is, how it came to be, and all of that. It looks like a lot of fun. Dynamite's done some great stuff with the Lone Ranger. They've done a lot of stuff with the Green Hornet. I'm looking forward to these two together in the same comic for the first time and just how that history plays out. Looks like a lot of fun. We've got some great art being shown here on 339. I love the character design covers by Giovanni Timpano. One for the Green Hornet, one for the Lone Ranger. Unfortunately, these are incentive covers, so it's a 1 in 10 for the Green Hornet, a 1 in 15 for the Lone Ranger. Putting those way higher than I want to spend, but man, I love the character designs they've got. Again, the art looks terrific. Michael Usulon is a noted writer and I think has a good history with these characters. Again, it's got everything going for it. It could be a sleeper hit, I think, for Dynamite, and I'm really looking forward to it. We've got a 50% discount on it through DCBS because it's a comic book page pick of the month. I think you should check it out. Once again, that's The Lone Ranger and Green Hornet, number 1 of 6, on page 338 and 339 of the previews.
Hey, it's the Brawlinator one last time for my final pick in the Dynamite section. It's writer Van Jensen and artist Ron Salas continuing Colonel Steve Austin's adventures in $6 Million Man, Fall of Man, which is an all-new series starring everyone's favorite original cyborg. According to the solicit, it says the year is 1979. Iran has seized American hostages, Colombian drug cartels run rampant, and Lashik's Freak Out dominates the charts. Amid this deeply troubled world, Colonel Steve Austin, everyone's favorite $6 million man, is America's best hope in its fight against innumerable enemies. When Steve discovers disturbing secrets in OSI's past, he uses his cybernetic upgrades to rebel against the agency, but he'll face plenty of threats, like an enemy cyborg and lasers and ninjas. Now, I'm a sucker for 70s nostalgia and the $6 million man property. I got the complete run of the last Dynamite Season 6 series from 2014. I've heard no word on whether this continues Colonel Austin's exploits after Season 6, but I'm on board for this. I hope you'll check it out too. Again, it's $6 Million Man, Fall of Man, number 1 from Dynamite. Thanks, guys. And John, I enjoyed it again, as always. Look forward to hearing everyone else's picks.
The $6 Million Man, Fall of Man, number 1 of 5, is also a comic book page pick of the month. We've got a 50% discount on it through DCBS. It's a $3.99 comic, so it drops it to $1.99. I'm a big fan of the property. I loved the show growing up and stuff. And the other thing worth mentioning is this is set in 1979. The show ran from 73 to 78. So one could kind of think about this as just the next season of The $6 Million Man. That's not how they're billing it. It's just a miniseries. I think that was the right way to go. Again, I'm looking forward to it. I think as a period piece, this works a little bit better than trying to bring it up to the modern day just because of how much technology has changed since, 79 to today. It's just a radical difference. Again, looks like a lot of fun. Not much else to say. That's the nice thing about following up on a Brawlinator clip is he does most of the work for me. So, once again, comic book page pick of the month, $6 Million Man, Follow Man number 1. It's on page 342 and 343 of the previews catalog. Check it out.
Hey guys, it's Drew with my last pick, and it is Brick number 1 from Oni Press. It is only $1.99 for an introductory issue. That's awesome. It is 32 pages. It comes out on July 6th. Written by Adam Glass with art by Harwinder Singh. Drew is a bullied kid in the Yonkers neighborhood of New York City whose family faces encroaching violence from Russian gangsters. Before his beloved grandfather is killed in an attempt to muscle the family out of the neighborhood, he's able to pass down to Drew the story of a mysterious but dangerous protector who helped their people during other troubled times. When Drew finds his grandfather kept the secret to creating a golem, it is worth the risk to summon the supernatural Avenger to take on the all-too-human darkness swallowing his world. So it's a fantasy tale for only $1.99, and give it a shot by Adam Glass. It's from Oni Press, and it's on page 404 in previews.
Hi, everybody. Gabe is back, and this is going to be my last pick for this episode. I'm on page 408. This is the Oni Press section of previews, and I'm checking out Invader Zim number 12. Invader Zim, for those of you who don't know, if you don't remember, was a short-lived but much-loved cartoon series from Nickelodeon back in the late 90s, early 2000s. The show was canceled. A lot of people wish it was coming back. And recently, it just came back as a comic book. So this is issue 12. This is one of my favorite cartoon series, and I'm glad to see it as a comic, and I loved every issue so far. Each of the issues have more or less been one and done, so no one has to worry about continuity or what happened in the last issues to understand what's going on here in issue 12. It's written by Eric Chuhart. The artist and cover artist is Warren Muccini. I might have destroyed that name. I'm sorry. But either way, that doesn't take away my enthusiasm I have for this comic. So I'd like for everybody, if you have a little bit of room on your order, or if you just want to check out something cool and different, check out Invader Zim. It feels like the cartoon series. It has the same heart and humor and outrageousness that made me fall in love with the series, and that's why I love the comic as well. So go ahead and check that out. Also, at this point, I want to give a shout-out to everybody on the forums and a shout-out to everybody who sends in audio clips to this episode and every other episode. It's great to hear everybody pitch in what they like, what they recommend, spotlight some maybe overshadowed comics. And I also like to thank everybody who shows up on the comic book page conference calls. We just had the conference call last night. It was a great time. We pretty much just hung out, chatted about comics, chatted about Batman versus Superman, chatted about whatever came up. It's a very generalized hangout feel, very much like a living room environment of us just hanging out talking about comics. I don't have many people in my life to talk comic books with. Nobody at my job seems to really care about comics at all. So it's great that I get a chance to meet up with people I like to think of as my friends on these conference calls and here on the Preview Spotlight to talk about comics. So thanks for everybody who joins up. If anybody's out there and you want to join up, definitely keep an eye up on the forums. John's really good about putting out when the next date comes out. It's usually the Saturday after previews is released, so everybody gets a chance to talk about previews or go over what we like real quick. But previews is not recommended or isn't required at all to join on these calls. But definitely big thanks to John for putting out these platforms for all of us to connect. And I hope to see everybody on the forums later. And I hope everybody has a good comic book month and has a good time making your orders. See you guys later. Thanks again.
Next up on page 440 is Torchwood number 1. Now, Torchwood starred the character of Captain Jack Harkness, who had shown up in the first season or so of the revival of Doctor Who with Chris Eccleston. He spins off into Torchwood, which was one of the two spin-off series for Doctor Who, the other being the Sarah Jane Adventures. And Torchwood was kind of the darker, more mature version of Doctor Who, and it was its own thing set in that universe. It was a lot of fun. Jack Harkness was one of the breakout characters and roles for John Barrowman. Now, I mention that because not only is John Barrowman a ton of fun to go see at a convention, but he's one of the two writers of this. He's co-writing this with, I believe, his sister, Carol Barrowman, and it's going to be just a ton of fun. He's a very creative guy. They've done a lot of writing together. This is an official continuation of the saga. It's featuring characters from the Exodus Code Torchwood novel. I haven't read that, but it is, again, an all-new ongoing series in continuity with the audio dramas and everything else going on, yet they're also saying it's going to be completely accessible to new readers and fans. So all you need to know is just, hey, it's here, come read it. And I expect Barrowman to live up to all of that. I'm looking forward to it. I've been expecting Titan to do this for quite some time. I think they've got really a great creative team for this. I recommend you check out the covers and such, the character design sketches, too, by artists Antonio Fusillo and Pascal Colano. Sorry if I mispronounced that name. Just you can see what the interior art's going to look like and such. I'm looking forward to it. It is a $3.99 comic book. It is a comic book page pick of the month through DCBS, so we've got a 45% discount on it there. Check it out.
Hi, Todd Cassell from Phoenix, Arizona, with my last pick of the month, and it's on page 443 in the Titan Books section, and it's Tarzan on Film Hardcover, written by Scott Tracy Griffin. Last month, I highly recommended the Joe Kubert archive type of hardcovers for Tarzan, A, because I love the work of Joe Kubert, B, because I've always loved Tarzan ever since I was a kid. The movies, no matter how goofy they are, one of my earliest memories is watching one of the Tarzan black and white movies, and boy, I think it was boy, maybe it was Tarzan himself, who got stuck in a huge spider web, and here comes a big spider coming to get him, and oh, did that creep me out, and it helped instill my arachnophobia for the rest of my life. But I know when I go back on them every so often and watch one now, they're a little goofy, they're a little silly, but I've always loved the Tarzan movies. And so for the second month in a row, I'm recommending Tarzan. And in this case, it's a book, Tarzan on Film. Tarzan on Film is the result of two decades of exhaustive research on the 98-year Ape-Man cinema canon, one of the greatest and most enduring series in motion picture history. The 1918 release of the silent film blockbuster Tarzan of the Apes launched one of history's longest-running and most successful film franchises. Based on Edgar Rice Burroughs' pulp fiction hero, the tale of the infant orphaned in Africa and raised to manhood by apes has been explored more than 50 films and 7 television series. Writer and historian Scott Tracy Griffin traces the series' development from the motion picture industry's early silence and serials through the high point of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer era featuring Johnny Weissmuller and Marina Sullivan to modern worldwide hits like Greystoke, The Legend of Tarzan, Lord of the Apes, and Walt Disney Studios' animated Tarzan. There's another blockbuster, big-budgeted Tarzan movie coming out this summer, and I'll be there on opening night. Again, I highly recommend this book if you are the type of reader who likes to go back on historical films and learn a lot more about them. Of course, I'm highly recommending it sight unseen other than the cover, but I'm sure that I will love it. Thanks again for this month's podcast. I'm sure it's going to be a great one. Talk to you next month. Oh, sorry, I forgot to add that this is a hardcover, 224 pages. It's $39.95, or however you can manage to get it at a discounted price. I will be getting it.
Billy Hogan again. My 11th and final pick in the May previews is all the way back on page 448 in the Tomorrow's Publishing section with Alter Ego 142. Superfan David Siegel talks to Richard Arndt about how from 1991 to 2005 he tracked down some of the greatest and hardest to find artists of the Golden Age and brought them to the San Diego Comic-Con, featuring art and artifacts by those classic talents including Ramona Freyden, Chad Grothkopf, Sheldon Moldoff, Harry Lampert, Chuck Quidera, Craig Flessel, Paul Norris, Vin Sullivan, Joe Giella, Irv Novick, Kurt Schaffenberger, and others. Plus, Rich Morrissey on how Golden Silver Age star writer John Broome got to the con. It's a magazine format, 84 pages, full color for $8.95. Not only do I enjoy reading comic books, I enjoy comic book history. And when I can squeeze it into my budget, I like to get an issue of Alter Ego, which is a great and economical way to learn about different parts of the history of the comic book industry. So if you like history in general or comic book history in particular, check out Alter Ego Magazine from Tomorrow's Publishing and check out all their other books and magazines, which delves into the long and varied history of comic books. Back to you, John, and thanks for providing this forum every month for us to share our love of comic books.
And my last pick of the month is on page 454. It's Faith Number One from Valiant Entertainment. And you're thinking, wait, haven't I talked about this before? I may well have, but that would have been Faith Number One of the miniseries. This is Faith Number One of the new ongoing series. Basically, they had some success with the miniseries. It was a great read. They're continuing with it. I'm all for that. We've got the same writer of Jody Hauser on it. I'll admit I was a little skeptical at the beginning as to how well she would do, but man, it's been great. We've got Pere Perez and Marguerite Sauvage on the art. This looks like a lot of fun. Again, Valiant's been doing some great stuff. Really, there's not much to say other than if you haven't checked out the Faith miniseries, it's worth checking out. It's some good stuff. Drew and I reviewed the first issue of it on the Weekly Comic Spotlight a little while ago. You can check that out for what we thought. Both of us really enjoyed it. So once again, that's Faith Number One from Valiant Entertainment on page 454. It is a comic book page pick of the month, so we've got a 50% discount on it through DCBS. Check it out.
Aloha! This is Jason from Hawaii. My last pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the Valiant section on page 455. It is the Faith trade paperback called Hollywood and Vine, written by Jody Hauser, art by Francis Portella, and Marguerite Sauvage. Now, I know John's doing a clip on Faith Number One, the ongoing series. This clip will focus on the Faith trade paperback that collected the four-part miniseries. Overall, this was a great miniseries. You know, Jody Hauser wrote Faith as someone who enjoys being a superhero. And Francis Portella's art is great. To me, it sort of reminds me a little bit of Frank Quitely's art, one of my favorite artists. So if you guys get a chance, pick up Faith, Hollywood and Vine trade paperback. And also pick up Faith Number One as well. Thank you very much for listening. Back to you, John. Aloha, everyone. This is Jason from Hawaii. I just wanted to let you guys know that the amazing Hawaii Comic Con will be here on Oahu from May 20th to May 22nd. You know, the top guests lineup is Robert Kirkman, Jim Lee, Chris Claremont, to name a few. Dragon's Lair collectibles and comics will be there at the convention. So if you guys get a chance, you know, please stop on by. Please stop on by their booth and just to say hi to them. So that's it. Again, it's the amazing Hawaii Comic Con from May 20th to May 22nd. Thank you very much for listening. Back to you, John. Aloha, guys. It's Jason. I'm doing my shout-outs to a couple people. First off, to Brawlinator. Brawlinator, thank you very much for being the trailblazer on these previews episodes, you know, by adding soundtracks and movie sound bites, you know, to your clips. You know, and now you got me hooked on that too. Again, thank you very much. And also too, you know, I just, you know, want to give a shout out that, you know, I remember you're the first person to start helping John post the solicits on the forums.
You know, and now you got me hooked on that too. Again, thank you very much, Brawlinator. And to Joe Crawford, Joe, thank you very much for recommending timely comics in the Marvel section. I've already ordered a couple of issues of those. Like one of them was like the Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur and the Totally Awesome Hulk. Also, too, you know, thank you for helping Brawlinator and I post the July solicits on the forum. And one last shout out to you, Joe. You know, it was awesome that you did a shout out clip for your favorite comic book series. Again, that was awesome. I look forward to hearing your clips and everyone else's clips. You know, a happy belated free comic book day to everyone. Until next month, aloha.
So hopefully everybody was able to find some stuff that they found interesting in this month's previews. We had a total of 55 clips, not quite the record-setting number of clips we've had the last couple of months, but frankly, still really impressive. It's well within, I think, the top 10% of episodes in terms of number of clips. There's only, again, I think, a total of maybe 8 episodes that had this many or more. So really good turnout. Thank you, everybody, particularly Billy, Brawlinator, the guys over at Comics for Fun and Profit, Drew, Gabe, Jason, Joe, Michael, and Todd for sending in clips. Again, this is an open submission policy episode, so tell your friends, tell your retailers, tell the creators, tell everybody you can who's got something they want to push, because the whole point of these preview spotlight episodes is to promote the comics during the pre-order cycle so people can find out about them and order them and find things they're going to want to read. There's so many things out there. It's easy for stuff to get lost in the shuffle, for people to miss something that'd be really good. And we just got to help each other out on this. That's the whole reason I do these episodes. They're a ton of work to coordinate and do, but man, the benefit of doing them I find really rewarding. It's also really expensive to do these episodes, not so much in terms of, you know, the technical aspect or even the time commitment, but in terms of what I add to my list. This time, actually, I got off kind of lucky. There were only a few things I added during the course of this that I will attribute to the listeners. There are a few other things I had just missed, like the Avengers K second trade or something like that. But I got talked into the ROM number one, Black Hammer number one, Betty and Veronica number one, which somehow I had just missed or didn't realize was part of the new Archie continuity. But my total after bags, boards, shipping, discount, etc. through DCBS, but not including the various bundles, I haven't had time to kind of factor those in yet, is well north of $750. Matter of fact, right now it's sitting at $762.67. And the scary part is, while there are a couple of high-ticket items, there's really not that many. I'm just getting to the point where I'm reading too many comics, so I may need to rethink some of that. But I've got, you know, the Power Rangers Legacy Communicator that's in the back of previews. It's like, man, I gotta have that. But that's adding $62.50 to my order right there. So, I mean, hell, that would drop it to $700 if I dumped that. Not gonna, but it could. There's also the Batgirl of Burnside Deluxe Action Figure on page 153 of the catalog that just looks really cool. Comes with the motorcycle. It's like, man, how can I turn that down? But even after the DCBS discount, it's still over $40. So, like I said, I've got some bad spending habits. Fortunately, I've got a nice job and can afford this stuff. But yeah, if that were to ever change, as it did once before, man, my spending would plummet drastically quickly. Like Brawlinator said, first world problems. So like I said, I found tons of stuff in the catalog this month. I pointed some of them out in my clips. There's some other stuff I found that I personally will enjoy. Hopefully everybody, like I said, found something. Again, the whole point of these episodes is to let you know what's coming out at the point at which you can go to your retailer and say, hey, I want this. Please order me a copy. Right now, it's got to be a tough time for retailers. Not that I think it was ever an easy time for them, but with things like Rebirth and just the constant turnover of titles, I personally would find it very challenging to be a retailer in terms of what do people want and why and how not to get stuck with things or not have enough of things. You know, so the more information you can give your retailer, I think the better. Hopefully they're receptive to that. I think most have pull list programs, and it's a little bit of work to pre-order. I get that. It's not for everybody, but it is kind of the heart and soul of the business, unfortunately. So that's the way it is. I'm just trying to facilitate the process. Not to say that I necessarily agree with it. I'd love if we could go into stores, find whatever we would like, and it not be a hardship on the retailers or anything of the sort for that to happen. But that's not the world we live in. My order, as it stands, and I stress as it stands because, again, it's higher than I'd like it to be. Three items from Dark Horse, 54 from DC, 7 from IDW, 15 from Image, 86 from Marvel. Marvel is still pumping out a lot of stuff. And about 49 items from the back half of previews. That includes things like that Legacy Communicator for Power Rangers and some stuff like that. So no doubt I'll tweak my order a little bit, hopefully down, probably up, before sending it in. Orders are due at DCBS on May 25th. That is also when the next previews is released. At your local store, they probably need stuff about a week earlier. Again, if you're shopping locally, you should know when the retailer needs to have your information in so they can aggregate it, process it, and do their orders. If you don't know, ask. Again, the whole goal here is to help out the local retailers. The next Comic Book Page teleconference is scheduled to be May 28th. What we're trying to get in the cadence of doing is previews comes out on Wednesday. That Saturday evening is when we do the teleconference, 7 p.m. Central. Figure out the time zones on your own, because I'm sometimes pretty bad at that. Basically, we just talk about comics. Think of it as office hours, if you will, for the Comic Book Page podcast. I'm there to answer questions and talk about whatever. A bunch of the other listeners are there, too. Gabe is there. Sam usually shows up. Chris Brawley shows up when he can. It's just a fun time to be had if you want to talk about comics. Two of the Brandons show up. I'm trying to think who else we've had the last month or two. It's a lot of fun. Basically, come as you have the chance, leave when you need to. We do it on Skype. It's pretty easy, pretty informal. It's just a bunch of guys hanging out, talking comics or comic-related movies or music or toys or video games, you know, whatever. It's a fun time. Then the deadline for the next preview spotlight clips are due on June 4th, bright and early in the morning. So whenever I wake up and start working on this thing, I've got everything. A lot of people are getting really good about sending stuff in a week ahead of time. I love that. That makes it so much easier to put this episode together. Particularly also having people post on the forum of what they're getting. That way I've got kind of a checklist of what I'm expecting, and I know if I've either got to wait for somebody or just figure out what's going on. So that's a big help too. Again, I want to give a big shout out to Brawlinator and Jason from Hawaii for posting the solicits on the forum. That's a huge help for me because it allows me to focus on a few other things. And frankly, I've been just a little overtasked on some of what I'm doing, both for the podcast and for some other stuff. So I really appreciate the help, guys. I think all of you guys doing that sort of stuff is part of why we've had such a great turnout the last couple of episodes and whatnot, to where these things are routinely going, you know, 2.5 or 1.5 hour, 2 hours and stuff. It's awesome. So with that, hopefully, like I said, everybody found some stuff you'd enjoy. Open submission policy. I can't stress that enough. Please send in clips. Support the comics you love. It makes it a win-win for everybody. You get to help the creators and properties you like. It helps them out. It helps other readers find stuff. Hopefully they tell their retailers it helps them. Again, virtuous cycle. That's what we're going for here. So with that, we'll call it an episode.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.